This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Thank you for listening to our Wilderness Medicine podcast series. Today we're going to go into prevention. Prevention is a big part of medicine, and in wilderness medicine it is very satisfying to prevent a problem as opposed to having to treat it. Today we're going to talk about ways to keep you afloat when you fall in water. And there are some issues in here that are very important to know, and most people don't know, in what we're going to call personal flotation devices or life jackets. There actually is a bit of a difference between those concepts. The term life jacket is often used interchangeably with personal flotation device. Life jackets are older and came out many, many years ago. The life jacket really was thought to be something that would turn someone who fell into the water over so that they would be on their back, so that an unconscious wearer would be breathing when they were rescued. Modern life jackets are now made more of foam, but initially, when they first came out many years ago, were originally developed by the British Royal Navy. Gosh, that was way back, 150 years ago, maybe even. They were given to the sailors. They were made with cork, and they were very effective at keeping people afloat. Now, a lot of people will wear just life jackets without any rating on them at all. And they usually use them offshore vessels where rescue may be delayed. A lot of cruise ships and people who are on ferry crossings and open water will carry these on board should they run into trouble. The umbrella term that is used now is called a personal flotation device. A lot of them just call them PFD or PFDs. And this is another flotation device, but it is rated and with different weights, and usually is strapped on or donned by an individual for the purpose of preventing drowning when they are in a body of water. So evolving from some of the earliest forms of personal flotation devices, and you really have to give thank you to a lot of technology that has been brought in to keep us floating. Today, we categorize personal flotation devices into five types. And these are pretty much used worldwide as you look at these. But before we go into exactly the types, there's a couple of things that you need to know about water. Most people know that if you jump into water, a lake or a swimming pool, a human body will generally float on its own if you take air into your body. And the reason for that is air, of course, is less dense than is water. The human body is made up largely of water, and if we were entirely of water, we wouldn't float at all. But we're not. We have a lot of fat, which is lighter than water, and we have air in our lungs and other parts of our body and sinus and various cavities, which then make us a little bit lighter in water. But that's not enough to keep us afloat, especially if one thing happens. And this is where you get into trouble. Like if you fall out in a raft, in a rapid, the rapid becomes aerated. That is, it becomes largely air. So the ability for the body to float in aerated water, especially in a really rough, foamy rapid, diminishes considerably. So the other issue with it is in a rapid or in current in an ocean is that currents are going downwards or sideways, but mostly it's the downward ones that we worry about. So if you have a current full of air and if a current is going down, it becomes very difficult for a body on its own to float. It's difficult to float on its own in any way, but with its air and with currents, it becomes more of a problem. So this becomes an issue. Now you have to think of, you have to go back many hundreds of years to when humans were looking at the weight of gold, actually. And the principles that came out of the early discoveries were called Archimedes' principle. And they learned that when you jump into water, well, in any fluid, actually, there is a buoyant force. This buoyant force is what keeps us elevated, just ourselves without a life jacket or a personal flotation device. But with a PFD, you get more of the buoyant force. The buoyant force points straight upwards. Now, the buoyant force is calculated by knowing the density of the fluid that you're in and multiplied by basically the volume. It's hard to calculate the volume of a person because it changes, and it's hard to calculate the volume of a person underwater because that also changes. But you can think of it in this terms, that if you weighed something on the order of 200 pounds, then 200 pounds is about 90 kilograms, then a person weighing 200 pounds just floating in lake water would weigh only about 15.5 pounds, somewhere on that order, or about 4.5 kilograms. Now, this is an interesting phenomenon dictated by what's called Archimedes' principle, and we said the buoyant force, because a human body is less dense, and so there is this tendency to float. It's kind of like ice floating on water. Ice is less dense than water, so ice will float. And same thing, the human body is by nature less dense. So in water, if you weigh 200 pounds or... that would give you about 90 kilograms. Therefore, if you have a life jacket that supports something more than the 10 pounds, then you will float. So that's the bottom line issue. 200 pounds in air, you weigh 10 pounds in water, or 90 kilograms in air, you only weigh about 4.5 kilograms in water. And that is an interesting change. But again, we have to emphasize that that density works for just still water and just normal water. If you put a lot of salt in water, like in the ocean, that number changes because the density of salt water is greater and the flotation will be more. But so we're going to talk about lakes right now. Okay, so when you get into a river and you get into a rapid, the water becomes aerated and it becomes far less dense. And in fact, it may become so that you are the entire buoyant force goes away. So you have to be careful with that number when they say like a PFD has so many pounds or so many kilograms flotation and in aerated water. That number can actually change. Now, there's an interesting thing to understand about accidents and that occur on rivers. The vast majority of accidents and or deaths that are caused on river are by people who don't wear personal flotation devices. By and far, it is if you add up almost all other causes of accidents on rivers, they don't equal the number of accidents and deaths that are caused by people who don't wear flotation devices. So by wearing a PFD, the risk of drowning or being injured in a river dropped considerably because of that. Now, another interesting comment to know by river incidents, if you classify it by the danger, that is by the roughness of the water, a significant amount of people are injured or die on flat lakes. And this, again, is usually due to the fact that they have a poor or they aren't wearing life jackets. The greatest number of injuries or deaths will occur in very low classification water, that is like a class one water, and then that's followed by class two, and then on down to class three, and then the roughest water, class 4 is the lowest category of injuries or deaths from drowning due to the fact that people who get into the rougher waters are far more careful about their personal flotation devices. So most people die either in flat water or class 1 rapids because they just don't feel like they need a personal flotation device. Now, that is a statistic that you need to remember. This is so important. And then again, that's followed by class 2. And in fact, the deaths from people on class 1 and class 2 whitewater rapids is far greater than if you add up all the other deaths in the class 3 and class 4. So keep that in mind as you consider which flotation device that you are going to get. And so understanding the fact that water becomes aerated, so your buoyant force drops considerably, and knowing that most people are injured or drown in flat or class 1 and class 2 water, meaning that they're not wearing life jackets, is a very important fact to remember. So I think that the way that you have to start thinking about life jackets now is a couple of things. Life jackets, like anything, can rip apart. It's just fabric. And so you want to be able to make sure that the life jacket or the personal flotation device that you have on is going to be, that's going to stay on and not rip off. In time, tears and wear happen. So the material that floats you will not float you if the pocket that surrounds it has a hole in it and then fills with water. So throw those personal flotation devices away if they get worn or get any kind of tear in them, because they won't float you. The other thing that you want to know is that they are bright colors. Most personal flotation devices are. The reason you want that is because, especially with young people that get swept away and they're not strong enough to swim out, having a bright color is very important. And so you'll see these yellows and very bright oranges and greens now. Make sure they are in bright colors for that reason. Reflective tape is important on them too, so that they will reflect light to make them better. They always usually have large armholes that help you with moving your arms. And the other one that you have to know is that they don't come off. And a life jacket shouldn't slip over the head. So one thing you want to do is when a life jacket gets on you is make sure that you grab it by the shoulder arm straps and lift it and make sure it doesn't slide off. Now, this is tricky with children. There's a lot of stories where children are where the life jacket comes off. I think it's important that you take children into the backcountry, but with children, especially the younger and the weaker ones and the ones that aren't as astute, you have to be extra, extra careful with them and make decisions about what rivers and where you take them into the backcountry. But with personal flotation devices, it is really tricky to make them fit. And they have children life jackets, and you just absolutely have to make sure that they fit snugly. So that is the one where you pick it up by the shoulders and make sure they don't come off. And you have to make sure that the chin and the ears don't slip through. A jacket that has leg straps will help prevent that ride up, giving an extra measure of safety. So when we take younger kids out, we make sure not only does the life jacket not slip off on its own, but it has a strap that will go through between the legs so we know that it doesn't come off. And that's going to become important also. As for the category, what you want to do is you have to look at whether you're going to get what the United States Coast Guard has, and it's become pretty a lot of an industry standard, and that is the Type 1, Type 2, and Type 3, and Type 4, and Type 5 ratings. Really briefly, the Type 1 provides a lot of buoyancy. It's effective for all waters, especially open, rough, or even remote waters when rescue is going to be delayed. And it also will turn the unconscious wearer over. That's Type 1. Now, Type 2, it doesn't go up like you would think, like Type 1 goes to Type 5. Type 1 through 5 really categorizes the water that you're going to be in more than anything. Type 2 is intended for calm inland water where there's good chance of quick rescue. This will turn an unconscious wearer to be face-up positioned in the water as type 1. The type 2 inflatable turns people over as well as a type 1 foam. So a type 3 is a different kind of life jacket. This is good for conscious users in calm inland water where there's a good chance of quick rescue. Now, it's designed so a wearer can place themselves in a face-up position in the water on their own. The wearer may have to tilt their head back to avoid turning face down in the water. The Type 2 foam vest has the same minimum buoyancy as a Type 2 personal flotation device. It comes in many styles and colors and generally is the most comfortable for wear. So this is why Type 3 jackets are often used on whitewater. The fishing vests and coat vests are designed with features suitable for various sports, and that becomes a Type 2 becomes a different kind of a jacket for the different sports. The Type 4 is intended for calm inland water with heavy boat traffic, where help is always present. It is designed to be thrown to a person in the water and grasped and held by the user until rescued. This is it is not designed to be worn. So a Type 4 jacket includes buoyant cushions, ring buoys, horseshoe buoys, and things like that. A Type 5 is intended for specific activities and may be carried instead of a PFD only if used according for that approved on its label. A Type 5 PFD provides performance of either a Type 1, 2, 3, or 4. If the label says that PFD is approved only when worn, the PFD must be worn. And a lot of people put it on their rafts next to them. Persons in closed spaces and used in accordance with the approved label to meet carriage requirements don't wear them. For example, if you're in the cabin of a ship. Some Type 5 devices provide significant hypothermia protection. And this is something you want to think about. Now, there is a category called Type 3-5, that is 3/5, and this is designed for multi-purpose vests and approval. So for whitewater rafting, they usually have you do a Type 3-5 for that various reasons, because it has all the three categories and the Type 5 categories as well. So that becomes important. So for you have to look at what you're, where you're going and what you're doing as to what is important for you to wear. Wearing a PFD is a no-brainer. Yet you see a lot of people drown because they and die because they don't wear one. They can also be injured and not rescued. You should always have a personal flotation device on any water. Now, that doesn't mean if you're fishing on calm water, but you should have a PFD, as we said, next to you that you can throw to someone, but be very, very careful. Another problem that we hadn't mentioned is hypothermia, because if you fall into water that is cold, your ability to produce ATP to swim or move out of the water diminishes the longer you're in the water. Colder water presents a specific challenge. A lot of people don't like to wear PFDs because they say it interferes with their arm movement, for example, surfers, and they don't like to wear them. This is like someone riding a bicycle that doesn't wear a helmet, and you think, why aren't they wearing a helmet? Some people just don't feel comfortable, or they will wear a very small one. Remember, wear a life jacket, have one available, depending upon your sport, at all times. And make sure children who are incapable of swimming or saving themselves has a personal flotation device on. But the other things to remember is that if you're in aerated water, such as in a whitewater raft, in a rapid or in ocean water where there's turbulence, the buoyant force created by Archimedes' principle diminishes considerably. So when you choose your weight and you say, I weigh 200 pounds or 90 kilograms, is that going to provide it? It will in calm water, but it's always best, in my mind, to spend the extra money and get the flotation that will float you the highest above water, because that is what you want. Make sure it doesn't come off. Make sure it's rugged. Make sure that children are well protected. And always remember in rocky and other waters to wear a helmet. And when you fall and hit water, you think it's soft, but it isn't. It's pretty, it's the air water boundary is pretty hard. So wearing a helmet, and that's a whole nother discussion. But wear those personal flotation devices and make sure that those around you are protected anytime you're in water, especially in white water. This ends this podcast on personal flotation devices. And as always, we say thank you for listening.